seemed more convenient for everybody, especially people out, you know, in the Central and Atlantic. So it makes the most sense. So as you know, we're going to be doing this deeper into Revelation last Thursday of every month. So the next one's going to be October 26th. Then we're going to do one in November. Then we're going to take a break in December because it's Christmas. And then we'll see how things go for the next year. As we get towards the end, we'll make a decision. But I'm really excited that everybody's here, that you wanted to spend some time here with us. I know this is the first time we've done something like this. So, and I know it's strange hearing it from me, but I'm a little nervous, not sure how this is going to go. Like I said, it's the first time we've done this, so we're kind of feeling this out, but I believe it's going to be really good. A lot of revelation being released. And I'll get into that more tonight, but just what the Lord is doing is just amazing in this time and season. So we have time to wake up and smell the roses, really smell the coffee, or just really awaken to what the Lord is doing. So thank you for joining us here tonight on this network Zoom. By the way, it is recorded. It is being recorded. So we are going to be making this available later. We'll mail it out, the link, so that you can always have it to watch again if, you know, you missed something. Maybe you weren't here and you're watching this through recording, or you missed something tonight. You're here, but you missed something. You know, if you want to take notes, go ahead. Typically, those who know me, I try to go slow, but I tend to get excited. I may go a little bit fast, but it's going to be recorded for you, so you can always refer back to it. Okay. So so let's start and let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this awesome opportunity. Father, we are gathered here in your name. Father God, in your presence, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just come and invade each one of us or wherever we happen to be. Lord God, that you would open up our hearts, our ears, and our minds, Lord, to the things that you're saying and doing even in this time and season. We thank that it is a time of revelation. We thank, Lord God, that you are moving on your people. And Father, I just pray for everyone that's under the sound of my voice that is hearing this message tonight. May it really ring in their spirits, ring in their hearts. And Father, I just pray that even the things that I say, you would bring revelation through them. Lord, even as we know, whenever someone listens, a couple of people go to a sermon or listen to a preacher, everybody receives something different. So Lord, you know what your people need to hear. You know the things that are on the hearts of your people. So Father, I'm just asking you would answer prayer tonight. You would give revelation that they're seeking. Father God, you would open up our minds and our hearts and our spirits to what you're saying to the church. And so, Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We glorify you. We honor you. Take first place in our hearts and take first place tonight, Lord. And we bless you and we lift up your name in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right. So I want to share tonight on, as you probably saw in the message that we received in the email or on Facebook, that it's a year of intensity. It's the year 5784. And I shared a little bit about this when I ministered at the Transformation Center a couple weeks ago on Rosh Hashanah, year 5784. And I'll get into what exactly that is all about. But most of you already know what you know Rosh Hashanah is all about, the high holy days and the days of awe. And Rosh Hashanah, as you know, is the year, the head year, the first of the year. It's a Jewish New Year. Not everybody is on the Gregorian calendar and celebrates, you know, January 1st like we do. That's our New Year. You know, hey, the Chinese have in February, you know, is their New Year. Gong Yi Fa Choi, I think if you're Chinese, you might have understood that, right? But the Jewish calendar, you know, this is their New Year, Rosh Hashanah. And according to Jewish tradition, God created the universe and he started on Rosh Hashanah. So that's why, you know, 5784, that's how old the earth is. You know, for us, it's, you know, 2023 AD. And for us, following the Gregorian calendar, you know, it's that division down the middle, that the demarcation point is Christ. So anything before him was BC, right? And then after him is Anno Domini, you know, after the death of Christ, so 2023. But in the Jewish belief in the calendar system, 5784 means that's how old the earth is. So Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. And it's really, it's mandated in Leviticus 23. And it's really known as the Feast of the Trumpets, where, you know, it's about God opening the book. It's a time of really a reflection, you know, those 2 days. This year it was on September 15th, and it ended Sunday on the 17th. Then we have the 10 days of awe, the 10 days of repentance, and then finishes in Yom Kippur. But those 10 days in between is really, according to Jewish tradition, is a time of judgment when God's people and all people of every nation, they're going to be called into account for their deeds and, you know, everything that they do. They got to, in that time of repentance, and get right, because after the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the books get closed again, and your fate is sealed until the following year. So you have these, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and those 10 days, it's your time to reflect and get right with God, be in right standing, because after that, the books are closed, and your fate is sealed for another year. So if you don't get right now, well, you kind of up the creek until the next year. You know, that's kind of the belief. But obviously, we don't believe that. That's not what we follow. But as Paul said, what happened to the Jews is a lesson to us. And really, there's that spiritual sense that it is a time of reflection. It is a time of repentance. It's a time to get right with God. Like, for example, for us here at Eagle Worldwide, many of the churches at the beginning of the year, we have 21 days of fasting kind of to prepare for what God is doing in the new year. Same thing, it's a time of repentance and getting right with God. So there's that window of grace that opens up during those 10, 14 days. And so it's really a time of reflection, time of repentance and getting right with God. And so I don't want to dwell on Rosh Hashanah, but I do want to speak on 5784, which is the year we're in. And, you know, we're transitioning from 573 to 84. And I'm going to go over with you tonight in greater revelation what exactly does that year mean, and what God is doing and how that's going to affect us. Now, I'm sure you've heard by now, people, you know, it's all over the internet, you know, 574 is the year of open doors. It's the year of open doors. It's, you know, 574, it's the year of open doors. And it's true. And I'll get into that more a little bit later on. But why do we get the open doors as well? If, you know, according to the Jewish faith, their belief system, they're very big into numbers, numerology. Even every letter of the alphabet has a number associated with it. So a lot of their belief and a lot of how they look at things is through numerology, right? And so the number four, Dalet, I don't know if I pronounce that right, the symbol actually looks like a door, right? And it actually means door. So that's why it's the year of open doors. What does that mean for us? Well, I'll get into that, because it's easy to get into the blessing part and the good part of, it's the year of open doors. God's going to open doors for me. And we get stuck in that blessing rut where there's a lot more that God is doing that I'm going to get into before we get into the doors. Okay. But it is going to be a year of intensity, great intensity. You know, God, I believe, is calling his people. Like I said, it's a year or the Rosh Hashanah is a time of repentance, of reflection. You know, Paul says, you know, examine yourself to know that you're in the faith, right? So God is really calling in the season his people to come back to their first love with an intensity. You know, we're intense for, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs or for the Blue Jays or for basketball. And we can be intense about a lot of things. But, you know, you don't have to be a prophet to know that we're in the last days. And now more than ever, we really have to hunker down and get right with God, because things are going to accelerate. And so God wants really more for our intensity to be more impassioned for him as opposed to elsewhere. But one of the things that we need to look out for coming in this year is the spiritual climate is going to shift. There's going to be a shifting. There's going to be a changing in what God wants to do. And a lot of the prophets believe that it's not going to be church as normal, church as usual anymore, because we got to get ready for a new order for what God wants to do. Change is going to happen really quickly. It's going to be like, you know, it's like we've been hearing all these promises that God's going to do this, that God's going to do that. And if you look at a graph linearly, it's like it's been kind of incrementing little by little by little, but then all of a sudden you have like an exponential, which is going to go rise right up. And we're at the cusp of that rising up, where things are going to begin to move really quickly. And so that time of intensity that is going to really, you're going to see a lot of change. The spiritual climate is going to change. Okay, there's going to be a shifting. There's going to be a changing. And especially the way we do church. You know, we've been used to doing ministry a certain way. Like typically every church is different, right? Catholic Church, Baptist, Protestant, Pentecostal, it's all different. But there's a part where you come in, then there's a part where you do some sort of worship, some sort of music, then, you know, some sort of offering, then there's the message. And we kind of follow a little bit of a program. But we're going to get into the place where I think those programs are going to begin to go right out the door. And I remember as I was preparing for this, as pastors, those who hear, who are pastors and who are leaders, we have to be willing to offend our guest speaker. Now, what do I mean by that? I remember when I was in Bible school, I went to Querétaro, it's in Mexico, during Christmas for a mission trip. And so we were going to go to church. So I was actually had a team with me. I was preaching that day, and we had a group with us. And then, you know, again, you know, come in, salutation, how you doing? Let's do the worship, let's do the praise, let's do the offering. And you were going to follow the program. But something happened in worship, and God began to move. And you could really feel the presence of God falling into the place. And I'm thinking, and I'm a Bible school student. I'm not like a seasoned preacher. I'm a Bible school student. And even back then, and you know what? I don't want to preach. God is doing something here. And I'm sure that God can do more in, you know, in a time of worship and praise where God is in the place. He can do more for his people than I could do preaching a sermon or 1,000 sermons, right? So I said, I don't want to preach. And I'm thinking this in my heart. The pastor comes up to me, and he's kind of like, you know, look at the expression that says, right? And he says, you know, Brother Miguel, you know, I know you've come from the United States, because I was Bible school in Pensacola. You've come from the States. You've come down to bless us, to minister to us. You've come with a word. I said, Pastor, stop. I said, I don't know where you're going. I don't want to preach either. I know you're feeling something, and so am I, and I don't want to preach. And there was a relief that came on his face. And he said, you know, I thank you for understanding, because something like this happened months ago or last year. I can't remember what he said, where I brought a guest speaker in from the United States, and God began to move, and he came with a message, and I felt bad not giving him the microphone. And I was too scared, too ashamed not to give him the microphone. So even though I knew God was moving, so I gave him the microphone and he preached his message. But when I did, the glory descended, and right away I knew that I'd made a mistake. So I thank you for understanding. I said, hey, I understand completely. So I didn't even preach that day, but he did give me the microphone. I was able to give a prophetic word and just kind of, you know, an exhortation to what was going on. But nobody preached that day. So that's what I'm saying. Those of us who are preachers, those of us who are over churches, we have to be ready, even if we receive or invite a speaker to come in, to have the gumption. So, you know what? I know I invited you to minister the word, but God is doing something, and I got to give God room to move. And so God is going to begin to move. He's just going to come in, and he's going to want to take over, and we're going to have to let him do that. Church, as usual, is going to get out. It's going to be out the door. We have to really plug into the Holy Spirit and really get our feelers up, right? Get the discernment. Say, Lord, what are you doing? Because God can move during a worship. God can move during the offering. And yeah, God can move, you know, during the service, the sermon itself. We don't know. God wants to do something whenever he wants. And we just have to be available. Say, God, you're in control. I got my schedule. I know what we're going to do. But if you show up, this goes out the door. And we have to be ready to come in and have a 20-minute church service or a 5-hour church service, whatever God wants to do. God, you're here. You're in control. It's in your hands, Lord. And we have to really discern. And I'll get into this in a moment. But church as usual is going to go out the door. And we need to know that times are changing, because God wants to do something different. And God is saying that my people need to adapt. Okay? Adapt to the times. There's an acceleration happening. Like I said, that acceleration, that exponential move, right? But one of the key words for this year is adapt. We have to be able to adapt. And the word adapt means to adjust to different conditions or different environments, right? We got to be able to go with the flow, right? We can't be stuck in the old like this. We've always done it like this. It's always worked. So this is what we're going to do, right? God is going to begin to shift. He's going to begin to move. Things are going to begin to accelerate. And we really need to be able to catch up, you know, with the Lord. Because, you know, as God was taking the Israelites through the desert, you know, they would set up camp. And listen, it wasn't like today. I have a tent at home. I just throw it and it just pops up and it's ready to go. Back then, they had to put up the pegs, they had to stretch it, the tabernacle. Probably took a week. Maybe they camped for 2 days and the pillar of fire moved. They had to move with it. So we have to be able to discern the cloud moving or the pillar of fire moving, because God is going to begin to do things even to test us in this season. So know that it's a year of intensity. God wants to pick up the pace. It can't be church as usual anymore, because God is going to do something different. And we need to be able to adapt to what God wants to do. Okay. If you remember in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, the Pharisees and the scribes, they come to Jesus, the Sadducees, because they want a sign. Lord, you know, give us a sign. And Jesus said, you know, when this evening you say, you know, it's going to be fair weather for the sky is red, right? Or in the morning, if the sky is red, it's going to be a horrible day because the sky is red. And Jesus says, you guys are hypocrites because you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the sign of the times. And I believe this scripture verse is for us for today. We need to be able to discern not the natural, not the sky, but the sign of the times. Okay, because we need to be able to discern the spiritual over the natural. Okay, we're going to see many signs. We're going to see many things happening, but we're not called to go after signs. We're called to go after Him. And so I believe now more than ever, like I said before at the beginning, it's a time of intensity and passion where God really wants us to really focus in on Him and go into Him with all that we have, to really be connected to the Holy Spirit, so that we can feel Him, we can sense, we can know as He moves, as the gentle wind begins to move, we can catch that wind. We got to get the sails up so that the wind can propel us in the direction that He wants to go. But we need to discern. It's a season of discernment and a season to adapt to the changes. Okay. And I want you to really get this. Mainstream Christianity is not going to work anymore. Those who don't adapt will not survive in the oncoming onslaught of the intensity of the times. Those who don't adapt will not survive in the oncoming onslaught of the intensity of the times. It is going to be intense. The things God wants to do is going to be intense, and we need to adapt, or we're going to be left behind. Now, the reason it's going to be intense is because God is running out of time. Well, actually, we're running out of time. God's on His calendar, and everything's going, you know, according to His calendar. But for us, our time is running out. Time of grace is running out. The dispensation of grace. Now, all of us believe, we're believing for a final move of revival. We're all, right? We're all believing God's going to move in revival. It's been prophesied. You can feel it. There's a stirring. There's a hunger in God's people. We want revival. And when we say we want revival, we have to understand something, because I've always said this even from the beginning. You know, as Dr. Russ said, God is not looking for the first century church. He's looking for the 21st century church. But I believe it's based on the first century model. I've always believed that we're coming back around to the first century church, because back then, you know, after the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, then they turned the world upside down for many years. They preached. The Bible says they had favor with God. They had favor with the government, and people got saved. 3,000 people, 5,000 people. There's a mighty move of revival. Times of refreshing were coming down. But then right after that, Saul came onto the scene and persecution came. Then Nero. Then all these Roman emperors brought great persecution to the Christians. And I believe this is what's going to happen. When we say we're believing in a move of revival, we've also heard it's the final move of God's revival. It's a healing revival, miraculous revival, but it's the final move right before tribulation. Because there's going to be a time, you know, we're talking about the transference of the wealth from the wicked unto the righteous. That's going to happen during this revival time. And we're going to have favor with the government. We're going to have favor with man. But it's going to be short-lived, because right after that, boom, tribulation. And many of the men that I admire, that I trust in the Lord, and I had a conversation with Pastor John and Dr. Russ even last year around summer camp. And for some reason, we talked about the end times. And Dr. Russ said, hey, you know what? By the way, you know, Miguel, when do you think the end is going to be? And I said, well, I believe it's going to be, you know, this day. And, you know, yeah, we're not supposed to set dates. We know that. No man knows the date or time. We know that. But we can know the seasons. We can prepare for it. So I said, I believe the tribulation would start roughly this date. So I said, okay, you know, John, Pastor John, what do you think? Well, I believe it's this date. And he said, well, I believe it's that date. And what was surprising, even though we did not coincide with the dates, we were very close within a couple of years. There are many people who believe that tribulation can start in the next 3 years. Okay. Bishop Bill Hammond said that, I know Ashley has said this, we're not in the 11th hour. We're in the 59th minute of the 11th hour. We're very close to the end. So I believe that mighty move of God is going to come in revival, mass revival all over the world. But then we're going to step right into the tribulation. Okay. So why is there a time? Why is it a time of intensity? Because we are running out of time. And God is going to begin to shake the church, shake those things that can be shaken, so that what remains cannot be shaken. Okay. So those who don't adapt will not survive the oncoming onslaught to the intensity of the times. Intensity is a key word for this year, 5784. Adapt, adjust is a key word for us to be aware of. Okay, now let's go back to 5784, the year of open doors. I'll get to that, but it's a year of intensity. It's also a year of astonishment and shock. God is going to shock us. The things that's going to happen are going to shock us. It's a time of breaking away. If you can picture, you know, the wheat and the chaff, right? Because, you know, back in the days, you know, when they went through the harvest, they wanted the wheat, which is a heavy kernel, and the chaff was the casing, and it was light. They get the pitchforks, toss it up in the air, and the wind, and it would separate it, and the wheat kernels would fall down, but the wind would take away the chaff, right? So it's a breaking away of the chaff, right? And so basically, all deceptions are going to be cast off, and I'll get into that in a second, okay? But the deception of God's people, always hoping in the wrong things. Too often, we've been hoping on the government. We've been hoping on the system. We've been hoping on the church. We've been hoping God to do what we want him to do, okay? But now we need to get our sight God-centered and not self-centered. For those of you who have my book, I talk about it. You know, most people sincerely begin receiving Christ into their hearts. But, you know, as the culture goes, eventually they are saved to church, not saved to God. Okay, because in the book I say that true salvation is positional. We are placed where we are restored to the place Adam had before he fell, which talks about, you know, relationship, authority, and assignment and the call. Okay. So again, a lot of that deception is coming off, and that's why we need that discernment. But 5784 also is equal to 24. Again, in the Jewish system, they're all about numbers. So if you add 5, 7 is 12, 8 is 20, and 4 is 24. So 5784 equals 24, and that number is associated with judgment and severity and indignation. So there's going to come a time where things are actually going to get worse. No, the world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And we all know the saying, it's going to get worse before it gets better. You look at the world right now, it's in chaos. The depravity, the sin, the perversion, the corruption. And it's getting worse. And it's going to continue to get worse. And so if you look at you know, with Lot's wife, and, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, why did God have to bring judgment? It's because it got so bad, God couldn't do anything else. Right? You go back to Genesis 6, when it says that, and God looked upon the hearts of man, and it was only evil continually. It wasn't just evil, it was only evil and continually. So God repented that he had made man. And he said, I will not strive with man for 120 years. And he brought the flood and he wiped them all out. Whenever the world or mankind gets to a place of depravity that you can't turn back anymore, God has to bring judgment because he's a holy God. And so as this world gets even more corrupt and more perverse, God has to bring judgment. And we're going to begin to see that. Governments are going to begin to fall. Things are going to come to light. And even though you see that deep depravity, because, you know, we have the one world government, all these things that are happening, they're just going to let it go, but God's not going to let it go, okay? But judgment and indignation. As a matter of fact, 5784 traces back to the original name of Nisan, which is one of the months in the Jewish calendar, which is Abib, the month of Abib. After the Babylonian captivity was changed from Abib to Nisan. But Abib was the time in the month where God called his people out of Egypt. Right, Moses comes in, plagues over Israel, sorry, over Egypt, and God brought his people out of Egypt. Okay. And God had to bring in severity, he had to bring judgment over Pharaoh and over Egypt to bring his people out. So that's why I was saying it's a time for God's people to repent and get right with God and to come out of the world, because when they came out of Egypt, they came out of bondage. And if you read that part of scripture, there was an urgency. There was an urgency for the people to come out of Egypt. So there's an urgency for us to come out, because God's going to do something. We can no longer have one foot in the world and one foot in church, right? And I'll dwell on that a little bit more. But know that it's a time of coming out of the world system. It's a time of coming out of the world, a time of coming out of Egypt, because God is going to bring judgment over Egypt like he did with the plagues. Okay. I'll get back to that. But it's a year of great year of intensity and great repentance. It's a year of awakening hearing that has been dead. So it's a year of greater revelation. Again, greater discernment as we come close to God, and as God brings those open doors, opening of the ears, opening of the eyes, opening of the heart, opening of the revelation, you're going to see an extreme activation of Joel 2:28, right? And we all know that verse, right? God says that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters, they will prophesy, right? Your old man will have dreams and your young man will have visions, right? I'm having more dreams than visions, so I guess I would consider it an older man. So I like to think I'm young in spirit, but I don't know. Maybe it's prophetic, but let me just share with you a funny story. But a couple of weeks ago, I was at Walmart with my family. I just stopped in to get a Walmart. So, you know, I feel like having a coffee. So you know, every Walmart has a McDonald's, right? Went there, got a cup of coffee. And I see on the till, the girl puts in senior. When we're talking about senior, right? So she charges me like $150. No, the coffee's like $187. She gives me the senior's discount. I go, wait a minute. I was like, what's going on here? Am I really that old? I'm not a senior yet, right? I go, okay, that must have been a fluke. Week later, I go to another McDonald's. Same thing. I get a senior discount. Now, I don't know if I should be happy. I'm saving money. Or do I really look that old, right? But your old men are going to dream dreams. So I guess I have been dreaming more. So anyways, but know that this is a year where God's going to increase revelation. It's an extreme activation and an extreme profoundity of Joel 2:28. God is going to pour out his spirit. Okay, and your sons and daughters, they will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And I can attest to this personally because, you know, when you come into the ministry, you know, you get Dr. Russ's book, Night Watch, you know, you read it, there's an anointing on it, you begin to get dreams, now you can interpret the dreams, you know. So I went for, you know, sporadically on and off, you know, I would dream and kind of on and off, I'd dream for a couple of weeks, and I wouldn't dream. Dream a little bit, kind of like dripping water every once and again, I would dream, right? And so in the last year or so, last year, I went months without dreaming at all. There are times that I would dream one night, week later dream, a couple weeks later I would dream another dream, like very sporadic. But then I went for like 3, 4, 5 months where I didn't dream at all. But let me tell you, in the last 6 weeks, I have dreamt every night. Every night I'm having a dream. Every night. This is a season, if you believe it and you receive it, God's going to pour revelation over you. Over his church, over those that are seeking the Lord. Extreme activation of Joel 2:28. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old man will dream dreams and your young man will see visions. Okay. But not only is God just giving me more dreams, and some of them are pizza dreams. Like I wake up and say, well, what was that? Other times I don't quite remember. I know part of it is my fault. I got to pray more against Jezebel, against the spirits coming against me. But, you know, I do remember my dreams. You know, I'll pray them through. But something also strange is happening is God has given me greater depths of revelation in what he's given me. Like I've got, every time God speaks to me, like I'm driving, I'll get my phone out and I'll speak into my phone. I'll record, right? Or put like voice to text. And, you know, sometimes God gives me a sermon. That's how he speaks to me. But lately he's just been giving me something on the same topic day after day and deep revelation I've never known before. Kind of like when I wrote my book on after the fall on salvation, what salvation really is in that relationship we have with that, like we're like Adam, right? Being restored to the place he had before Adam fell. God's given me more revelation on that. But in this other sphere about the three heavens, great, great revelation. So I'm going to be writing another book. I know that for sure. So I just got to sit down and start working on it. But, you know, so you're the first to know or hear that I'll probably be writing another book real soon. But it's because God is not only just giving more revelation, it's a deeper revelation. It's a deeper well in intense activation of Joel 2:28. Okay. So again, year of open doors, I'll get into that. But it's really for those who really are seeking the Lord. It's a season, 5, 7, 8, 4 of intensity, great intensity. judgment is coming upon the earth, severity, but a year of astonishment, a year of shock. God is going to shock a lot of people. And some of us are kind of on the operating table, that God's going to have to bring those things and put it to the chest and really shock us back to life. Because, you know, it's like I was reading the Bible the other day. God said, if I told you what I was going to do, you wouldn't believe it. Get ready to believe what God's going to do. But it's a time to adapt. It's a time to be ready to change, a time to go with the flow, a time to adapt to the changes, right? If we don't adapt, we will not survive the oncoming onslaught of the intensity of the times. It's going to be a time of great intensity, okay? Now, because it's going to be a time of judgment, severity, things are going to happen very intense. It's also going to be a time, I believe, you know, we've heard this before year after year, but I think it's coming more and more to head, is that the plumb line is dropping again. And I believe that in this coming season, even starting this year, we're going to see a clear distinction between the two kingdoms, between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Not only that, and I want you to hear this really with your heart, really hear this. You're going to see a distinction between the church and the remnant. There's going to be a distinction between the church and the remnant, because God is coming for the remnant. It's the remnant that are going to take it by force. It's those that are pressing into the kingdom, to press in violently. Right? Those who are pressing in, and the word there is harpazo, which is the same word used as a rapture. It's a violent. Those who take the church are going to take the kingdom violently. It's not for the Sunday morning, the weekend warriors, the Sunday morning Christians that just come to church once a week. You're going to see a clear demarcation point between the church and the remnant, a clear division between the world and the church, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You're going to see a manifestations of the sons and daughters of God really come into life. I believe God is really going to touch the youth in this season. You're going to see all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fall on the youth. They're going to begin to prophesy and move in the spirit. Unhindered, the old belief system that, you know, someone comes to Jesus, you know, they get saved, they come to church. Well, hey, you can't prophesy until you've been in church for 3 years. Hey, you can't prophesy until you've been baptized. Out the door. God is looking for willing vessels who say, yes, Lord, here I am. And we're going to be shocked at the people God's going to want to use. So this is a good time for you to pray for your sons and your daughters, that God is going to use them. I know that all of us here are following the Lord, and I have kids like my eldest son. He believes in God. He knows it's the truth, but he's kind of doing his own thing. And I tell him the truth. I said, listen, this is what's going to happen. You got to get right with God. And I believe that God is going to shock us when he touches them. And we're going to be surprised that God touched them, even though we've been praying for them. Because God is getting ready, and he's raising up an end time army. And it's not going to be the people that we think they are going to be. God's going to be using the misfits. Those who we don't think qualify, God's looking for a willing vessel. God's going to shock us and astonish us. And those, again, who are of the old school, say, it's got to be done this way, you're going to miss it. Got to adapt. God is God, and he can do whatever he wants to do. And we just got to be ready, right? And so when God even begins to move in revival, it's not going to look like it did in Brownsville or Toronto or anywhere else. It's just going to be a fresh new move. We got to discern whether it's good or not. But we've got to discern and be ready just to move where God wants to move. We have to get ready to embrace the spiritual climate that God is going to unfold before our eyes. Okay, we've got to adjust to the times and adjust quickly. God's going to do a new thing. Okay. Like I said, 5784 is equal 24, a time of judgment, severity, and indignation. And this is a time, like I said, you know, the world is, because it's perverse and because, you know, it's chaotic and all the indignation and all the perversity, you know, it's going to continue to go into deeper levels of unsettling and chaos. And the world is heading into a Joseph season of that unsettling. You know, we've had the 7 years of the good, and now the 7 years of famine are coming. And so the world is going to begin coming into a place of lack and unsettling, struggle and turmoil. But on the other side of the coin, the church is also heading into a Joseph season where I said it's a breaking away. It's a time of breaking away where the prison doors are going to open. It's the years of open doors. Prison doors are going to open. It's going to be a time of promotion for those who are ready, those who set their head like Forflint, that are seeking the Lord, who are believing for a promotion. It's going to come because it's a time of season to step into a call, and I'll get into that in a minute. But it's really, I believe, a time for the influencers to begin that transfer of wealth from the righteous to the righteous, from the wicked to the righteous. God has his people in place, and God has been taking a lot of these wealth generators through the fire, right? Because God took Joseph 13 years in jail and in Potiphar's house. Said, Lord, you gave me these promises. You know, I'm integrity. I didn't sleep with her. And here I am rotting in jail. And in one day, God brought him up. But one day was actually 13 years. God is testing the hearts of his people, getting them through the grinder, pulverizing their hearts. I remember when I went to Bible school, something I see in my Genesis course. How does God fulfill a dream in a man? Well, God gives you the dream. Then God kills the man. Then he fulfills the dream. God's got to kill in us every part that is not of him, so that when he gives us the riches, when he gives us the anointing, all the glory goes to him. So again, distinction between the church and the remnant, those who are called in these last days are going to rise up because they have been under turmoil, under a lot of oppression, you know, lack and all this, but God's going to take them through the Joseph season where they're going to expand. But also the church is heading into a Goshen season. Okay. Now, when famine hit, Joseph brought his family to Egypt, and Pharaoh said, go to Goshen. That was militarily just strategic why he did that. But anyways, I'm not going to go there. But when God brought the judgment upon Egypt, the plagues and the lack, Goshen prospered, right? Goshen did not receive the plagues. They were protected of the Lord. And so even in this time of unsettling, we, the church, are heading into a Goshen season where all of our needs are going to be met. A lot of times we don't understand, God, you know, we keep praying for this and praying for that. We don't see it. The provision is coming. The camels are coming. And it's easy to get downcast and worried about the prime rate going up, mortgages going up, price of food going up. Where's the money going to come from? Listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. I believe we're stepping into a season that's beginning this year where our faith is going to be tested. Do we really say God is my provision? And I'm not getting ready to take an offering, okay? But is God our provision? Is he our provider? Is he really Jehovah Jireh? Can we trust in God when the world is facing lack? Listen, God can make food appear in your refrigerator. God can bring groceries to your doorstep. God can do whatever he wants. I believe that those who are really his church will enter into Goshen season while the earth goes into turmoil, the rest of the world goes into turmoil, and they're under that struggle. Okay. But we are, I believe, in a pre-Babylon season. I used to believe before in pre-trib rapture. I don't anymore. I believe in pre-wrath rapture. But I used to believe that the Antichrist would come in and set up his kingdom. It's not what I believe anymore. I believe right now the kingdom is being set up and he's going to step right into it. Okay, that's, you know, the one world government, Charles, the Schwab, the Bill Gates, the vaccines, the one world government, the 15-minute cities, and all this, the digital IDs is playing into it. And it's the 2030s, they're saying, is when all the stuff will come into, you know, one world currency, digital, all the stuff, right? So we're getting very near the end. Okay, but we don't have to worry. We don't have to take the mark of the beast. We have to worry about finances. God is going to make a way where there is no way. If God can create rivers in the desert, he can, you know, if God can create the earth, God created the earth and the universe in 7 days. The only reason he did that was to give us the seasons, the times, the days, and the weeks. God could have done it in an instant. Boom, everything's there. If God could create a universe in an instant, he can provide for you. He can provide for his people. Okay. What God has available for this coming year is for those that are thirsty for God, those who are hungry for God. I'll get to those open doors. But God is divinely shaking. Okay. And every time God brought forth a shaking, it was for his people to draw near to him. I'm reading right now through the Bible, through the Kings and through Jeremiah. and you see the prophets, you know, God calling out to his people, and he kept bringing judgment, and the Midianites, you know, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, you know, the sword, the famine. And it wasn't just to kill him because he was done with them. In that adversity, he hoped that they would come back to him. And so whenever God begins to shake, it's for us to really say, well, you know, run back to God with everything that we have. But the line is dropping, and we need to choose whom we're going to serve. You know, in 1 Kings 18, 20, 21, you know, when Elijah calls for the rain to stop, 3 years there's famine, there's no rain. Finally, rain comes, and he calls to Ahab, bring all the prophets of Baal and all the people, and we're going to have like a showdown. 1 Kings 18, 20, 21. And so they're all there on the mountain. And then, so they're gathered with the prophets at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people, and to the Israelites. And he said to them, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. So he put it out. Listen, if Baal is God, follow him. Right? If God is God, follow him. But the people wouldn't answer him a word. And the idea there is, have you ever seen little birds flying in trees? They go to one branch, they go to another branch, they go to another, they're flitting back and forth, and they can never settle on a branch. Always going back and forth. Falling between two opinions. They're serving Baal, they're serving God, they're serving Baal, they're serving God. They didn't want to make a choice in case they made the wrong choice. They wanted to make sure they made the right choice. So we know the story. The altars, the fire, the water. Fire comes from heaven. You know. Let the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And God answered by fire. So they knew he was God. Then they slaughtered all the prophets of Jezebel. And so God had to show up for the people to make a choice, right? But I believe in this season, beginning of 5784, the plumb line dropping, we are going to be challenged into whom we really want to follow. Are we going to follow God or are we going to follow Baal? We're going to follow God or we're going to follow the world? Are we going to follow God or our idea of God? Who are we going to follow? I believe we're going to be challenged as to who we are going to follow in this season, because the time for games is over and we have to make a choice. Okay, we either follow God or we follow Baal. Okay, time is over to go back and forth. One foot here, one foot there. There is no plan B. There's only one plan, plan A, okay? And it's really a time for us to get serious with the Lord. All those things that so easily ensnare us, we got to get rid of them and really focus on God and follow him, okay? Remember, we're of this world, but we're in the world, but we're not of this world, okay? We're going to be challenged in many different ways as to who we're going to follow. Are we going to follow the Lord or are we going to follow Baal? People say, you know, there's God, and then there's the devil. And then there's God's way. And then the world's way. Really, if you look at it, there's God and there's not God. It's God or it's not God. We have to know who God is. We have to know what his word is, what his expectations are. And we have to decide, yes, I am all in. It's a time to be all in because it's a time of intensity. Okay. This is also a season, and I'm experiencing this even right now in my life, because of the time that we're at, not only intensity, because God is increasing the heat and God is bringing intensity, but the devil is doing the same thing. I believe this is a season where the devil is pushing your buttons. It's a season where the devil is going to push your buttons. The devil knows you. He knows your buttons. Okay. Because God, the devil wants you to focus on your circumstances and not focus on the Lord. The devil is working very hard to set up obstacles to keep you from moving forward, okay, in the open doors that God has for you. Okay, God's going to push hard. As you push hard to go through the door, he's going to push hard against you so you don't cross that door. And you know, before obstacles can be obstacles. You know, man, I want to do this, but there's not enough money in the bank. I'm believing for this, there's not enough money. I'm believing for this, I just don't have enough people to do it. I'm believing for this, but the vision is kind of, you know, and the things we believe, maybe the finances aren't there, the people aren't there, maybe the time is not right. That's one obstacle. But buttons are different, because the devil knows the buttons to push. is going to want to knock you right out of your car. Like I know, for example, for myself, most of you know that I have three kids, three boys. Two of them are special needs. The middle guy is very temperamental, very sporadic in his behavior, very angry, very destructive. I got holes in my walls all over my house. He'll be happy 1 minute. The next minute, he'll turn on a switch and he'll be totally angry and he'll explode right in front of me. And this has been going on for 10 years now. And so that shakes you up, right? And so for the longest time, it's like, oh, Lord, I can't do this. I can't travel. I can't preach. I can't fulfill my call. I can't do this because of him, because of him, because of him. And God had to, through summer camp, through a couple of the ministers administering, God began to speak in revelation. I realized that I had my eyes on him instead of having my eyes on the Lord. Because God can make a way where there is no way. God can make rivers flow in the desert. God can make a highway in the desert, in the wilderness. So God can do everything. God can do all things. Right. So I've been beginning to press into the Lord, press into my prophetic promises, doing warfare with my promises. Right. Because the devil's been pushing my buttons. He knows which buttons to press. But I've gotten to the point where I say, you know what? No, buttons out of order. I ain't going for that anymore. Lord, I just, you know, I love what it says in Matthew. Come to me, all ye heavy laden and burdened. I will give you rest for your soul. Learn from me, for I am humble in heart. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So I'm learning to take his yoke upon me, to give him my burdens, to give, you know, I'm heavy laden, Lord. I want to enter into your rest. And so, Lord, you are bigger than any problem I may ever have, any circumstance. Lord, my eyes are on you, not on my situation. I don't care how many times you press that button. I'm not perfect. Every once in a while, the button goes through. But more and more, I'm just ignoring the button because my eyes are on him. This is a season where the devil's going to push your buttons to get you so sidetracked and so focused on your circumstance that the door, it's a year of the open door, that the door that's open before you, you're not going to want to cross it. Because like I said, I had to repent. Lord, I can't fulfill the call of God in my life. I can't travel. I can't preach. I can't do anything because of him. And I was cursing my call because my eyes were focused on my circumstance instead of that open door that God was opening. But this is the year of open doors. It's the year to walk through that door. So you got to disengage that button. You got to really focus. That's why it's a time to really get in on the Lord, give yourself to the Lord, reckless abandon to the Lord, and a season to die to self so that the Lord, and take his yoke upon you, because it's an easy yoke. And just, Lord, here's my burden. Lord, here are my cares. Here's my son. Here's my financial situation. Here's my bank account. Here's my wife. Here's my husband. Here's my neighbor. Whatever it is, Lord, here it is. You know, I set it at the foot of the cross. Lord, I am heavy laden. I am burdened beyond compare. But Lord, if I take the yoke, you're going to set the pace. And you're going to carry my burden because you are the burden bearer. And my eyes are on you. Look up to the sky. Look up to heavens. Whence comes your help? So understand that it's a year of intensity, not because God is bringing the intensity, but the devil also. And he's going to really want to push your buttons. But aside from the obstacles he wants to put in your life, remember, even though God took the Israelites out of Egypt and brought them to the promised land, there was the Red Sea with Pharaoh following behind. Then finally, after 40 years, they had to cross the Jordan, another miracle. Then it went into the promised land. There were giants, right? You're never going to lack obstacles. Every time you want to advance, there's always going to be an obstacle. Okay? But you know, in Philippians 3:14, Paul says, I press towards the goal. And the word press means to run swiftly and to pursue in a hostile manner. We Christians are wimps. We're wimps. Something happens, we fall. We just give up. But real Christianity, Paul says, it's you have to press with a hostile manner. When Jesus says, the kingdom of God suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. Just because God gives you a promise, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Because the devil's going to make sure you don't get it. You have to fight nail and tooth to get your promise. Because the devil isn't going to give it to you for free. You have to battle for your promise. You have to battle for your children, battle for your spouse, battle for your financial situation. Knowing that the battle's already won, the battle belongs to the Lord. He is Adonai Sabaoth, the Lord of the host of the armies of heaven, and he's on your side. And part of what the book I'm going to write about is knowing how to warfare based on the three heavens that exist. I'm really excited about it. But we need to know how to do. See, we do warfare, spiritual warfare, all wrong because we don't understand how God has set up a system. There's a structure. Okay. But the devil's going to suppress us. He's going to put an obstacle, and we have to fight the good fight, and we have to press through. We have to be violent. We have to be violent in that warfare in the Lord, because the weapons of our warfare are what? Mighty in God for the pulling down of stronghold. Okay. Now, 5784 is a year of open doors. Now, the problem I have with this, or we have with this, is we believe, oh, open doors. God's going to open the doors. God's going to bless me. God's going to bless me. I'm in the blessing club. If God's going to open the doors, I'm going to walk through and God's going to bless me. That's not what it means. Open doors for what? To step into your destiny call. That's the door that is opening. To step into your ministry call. That's the opening. God isn't going to open a door just so that you can go into, you know, more money and bigger blessings, a bigger house and bigger car, even though that can happen, right? But God is going to open up the door. Why? That we can step into our destiny call and step into the assignment that he has given us to walk in and to fulfill. And the devil knows, I mean, there's few things more dangerous to the devil than a real praying Christian and one totally sold out to God, but one who has given himself totally to the call of God on their life. To the call of God on their life. When we step into our call, hell watch out. And the devil doesn't want you to step into your call. The devil doesn't want you to be saved. But if you do get saved, he just wants you to stay in church. The devil is not against church. His religious spirits are all over church. He just doesn't want you to get out there and evangelize or step into your destiny call, because your reward is based on the call and your obedience to the call. And the anointing God gives you in your life is to fulfill your call. And all the power of heaven is before you and with you to do what God has called you to do when we walk through the door to fulfill the call. And I believe that this year, 5784, is the, I'm here, and I've told you part of my story that I've cursed my call because of my son. I can't happen. I can't preach. I can't travel. You know, I can't go anywhere because of him. I can't do anything because of him. I said that with my mouth, and I had to repent. I said, no, Lord, you're bigger. I will do it. You will make a way where there is no way. My passport's ready to go. My Nexus card's ready to go. I bought a new suitcase. I'm ready to travel. Whenever you want me to go, Lord, I'm ready. But you're going to have to take care of him. Because you, for years, I've had so many prophetic words that I'm going to travel. And I'm going to travel. And I don't care what happens in that situation, because God's going to take care of it. But I got to declare that. Because I'm stepping in my door this year. I don't know about you, but I'm going to step through my door. It's the year of open door to fulfill your call and your mandate that God has given you from before you even were birthed. Like he said to Jeremiah, even before I knew you, before I formed you, I knew you and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Before you even born, the call of God was on your life. And God's going to give you a forehead of flint so you don't worry what people say about you or what they say. Don't worry, I'm with you. So God is with you. When you step into your call, God is with you. And the devil doesn't want you to walk through the door. That's why he's pushing your buttons this year to make you give up. To make you look at your circumstance. Because listen, God cursed the devil in Genesis 3:15. You are lower than any other animal. You're going to crawl on your belly and you're going to eat dust the rest of your life. And he's a snake. He's right. And the way the devil wants to keep us from fulfilling God's call is to bring us to his level in the dust. We got to go above that. That's why he's under our feet. God's going to put him under our feet. Let us trample him underfoot, operating from the third heaven, right? But if it is a year of open doors, it's not open doors of blessings so God can bless your socks off so you can be rich and have a new car. Doesn't mean it can't happen. I'm believing for great things. But it's really an open door to fulfill the call of God that's on your life. Whatever, Lisa Smith, whatever God has promised you, it's going to happen. Because I'm going to open a door that no man can shut. And I'm going to shut the doors that no man can open. So whatever door the devil has opened, God's going to close it. And he's going to open up a door for you to walk through that door and fulfill the call of God on your life, because this is your year. It's a year of open doors to fulfill the destiny call that's on your life. It's a year of intensity, but it's a year to really press into him and give all to him. Look up to the heavens, whence comes my help. And he will make it happen. Because when God gives you a call, there's no devil in hell that can stop the call of God to tell your life if you're willing to walk it. And yes, there will be a battle. Yes, there will be giants. Yes, there's going to be rivers to cross. But God can part the rivers. God can part the waters. Amen. Because he's a good God. And God, see, God doesn't just love you. God likes you too. How about that, Donna Parishon? God doesn't just love you. God likes you too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? So we need to prepare. Prepare for what's coming. Get ready for what's coming. See, your intensity. Adjust to the times and adapt quickly. Quickly. Adapt quickly. Okay? Mainstream Christianity is not going to work. And those who don't adapt will not survive the oncoming onslaught of the intensity of the times. You know, God's gonna turn the heat up, and the devil's gonna turn the heat up, right? But know that our God is bigger. This thing's already won. God already won this thing. We just gotta walk with him, okay? And so Rosh Hashanah, as I said at the beginning, it's a new year. It's a new beginning. This is a year of new beginnings, right? For all of us, we're stepping into a new level. Okay, but you know what they say, new level, new devil, right? It just basically means new ground, new uncharted territory, pioneers. All of us here, we're pioneers. If you're part of the Eagle Worldwide Network of Ministries, there's an anointing that's on your life. There's a mantle. A lot of people don't understand this, but when you partner with Eagle Worldwide as a minister under the network, that covering comes over you. That prophetic call is on your life. You need to claim that. There's no Jezebelic spirit that can douse the call of God that's on your life with a prophetic call, because that belongs to you, because God's about covenant. He's a covenant making and a covenant keeping God. And when we align ourselves with others in covenant, then whatever the other one has as well, right? So whatever prophetic, apostolic call that's on this life, it's over your life too. You can prophesy. You can go into uncharted territory. Pioneer, because you are pioneers, because you're part of a pioneer network. You got to believe that. You got to call that out. You got to begin to declare that. It's a new year of new beginnings, new levels, new things. Okay. But a new level requires a new sacrifice. Okay. Now, just because there's an open door doesn't mean everybody's going to walk through it. If you were here during summer camp, or maybe you watched it online here at the Hub in Hamilton, you know that Ashley Almas, she preached the last night, and she preached a timely message about crossing over. And you know, before she crossed over, you know, we were talking, and she said to me, you know, it's a time to cross over, but not everybody's going to cross over. And it's true. There are people in our ministry who have been with us for many years who are not going to cross into the new land. There are people who were part of the ministry, who were with us for years, then they dropped out. They should have crossed over with us. They're not going to make it. Just because there's a door open doesn't mean you're going to walk through it. No, God's not going to force you to cross over. It's a choice. But it's going to require a sacrifice. Every new level requires a new level of sacrifice. And you're not bound to people. We're yoked to the Lord. So people who have come with you this far, some of them may not make it into the next level, the next season you're going to walk into, but that's okay, right? We can't have our eyes on people. We have to have our eyes on the Lord. But as Ashley was saying, it's a season to cross over, and not everybody's going to cross over. Not everybody's going to walk through that open door, because it's going to be a time of great intensity. Not everybody's going to be able to take the fire and take the heat. Even in the natural, if you look at the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul says there's going to come a time of falling away, you know, where people, and if you read that chapter all the way through, it said there's a spirit of Antichrist has come, but there's a spirit that's already here. You know, 1 John, John talks about that. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work, and you know, he is here, Holy Spirit, until he's taken away. Then the Antichrist will be revealed. But in that time, there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. And if you keep reading to the bottom, it says they fell away because they did not love the truth. We have to love the truth. And the scary part of this, it talks about, you know, there's going to be signs and false signs. They're going to believe the lies. And it says, and this is strange. When I say this, people get freaked out. But this is one time in the Bible where God and the devil work together. Okay, because it says, and the devil is going to send the lie that people believe the lie, right? They're going to fall away from the truth. And then it says, and God will send a delusion that they believe the lie. So God and the devil are going to work in synergy. God, the devil is going to bring the lie, and those who don't love the truth, who love unrighteousness, God's going to make sure they believe the lie. You want to make sure you're believing the truth. And truth has a name, and it's Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. None comes to the Father except through me. So it's a time to really get a hold of Christ, a time to really, you know, Holy Spirit, just take me to the feet of Christ. We need to be Marys, sit at the feet of Christ, and really just listen to him and pour out that break the vessel of the anointing over his feet, and just in that place of worship, and really give everything to Christ. The more alive we want to be, the more dead we have to be, dead to self. And the more we are given to Christ, the more we're going to walk in the truth. And your love for the truth is your protection in this delusion that's going to come, and this falling away that's going to come. Many people that we know right now that are on fire for God and go to church are going to be of those that fall away because they didn't love the truth, right? Not everybody's going to cross over. And one of the prophets that I was listening to said, you know, this 5784 is this year, but it's really the first of 7 years. And each year is going to have its own thing, but this thing is going to grow in intensity. But God, I believe God is really going to shake the church and really shake everything that can be shaken. Okay. Every success has started with a thought and a decision to go for it. We have to make a decision. I'm going to go all in, and I'm going to go for it. Because a thought requires a decision. A decision requires an action, and an action requires a sacrifice. Let me say that again. A thought requires a decision. A decision requires an action, and an action requires a sacrifice. We have to be willing to let more go to follow Christ. The closer we get to him, that's why he said, pick up your cross and follow me. Self-denial, death to self, death to things around us, death to ambition, whatever God's called us to let go of. But it's a year of open doors, year of, and that can mean, you know, Lord, what doors you want me to, you know, walk through? A year of open ears. Lord, what are you saying to me? A year of open eyes. Lord, what are you showing me? A year of an open heart. Lord, what am I discerning? Those have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to discern. This is the season for those people. God is opening up the heavens. God is opening up, that revelation, Joel 2:28, extreme Joel 2:28. Pouring out in these last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit. You're going to see a great pouring forth of the spirit, and you are going to feel his spirit like never before. And it's intense because God is running out of time to do what he wants to do. One of the things that I believe we're going to see in this year is that demarcation point, that separation, the plumb line between the church and the remnant. We're going to see that. We're going to see who the remnant really are. Who are willing to pay the price, who are willing to go all in. Intense shock, astonishment. Get ready for what I'm going to do, says the Lord, because if I told you, you wouldn't even believe the things I'm going to do, even if I were told you. Season of discernment, discern, have those feelers up. Season to, you know, really get into the Lord, get into the Spirit, be really sensitive. It's a year where we're really going to be able to hear the small, still voice of the Lord in the midst of the storm, because that's where we're going to get our understanding and our strategies. A lot of times, you know, when we're in our prayer time, in our prayer closet, like right now, you may not hear it. In the background, I have mellow, anointed Christian music, like really instrumental, because this a couple of songs that I like that really speak to my spirit. This is one of them, and it's one song, 3 minutes, and it's on loop. You probably can't hear it, but I can feel his presence in his place, right? And it's great. You can get into his presence, you can feel it, and you can hear God speaks to you. But I believe that we're entering into this season of intensity where we're not always going to have those times to just hear his voice in that quiet time. We're going to have to learn, discern how to hear his voice in the midst of the storm. Because it's in that place God's going to give you the strategies and the understanding in the midst of the storm. Because as God turns up the heat, the devil's going to turn up the heat. And we have to rethink the way we seek the Lord. You can hear God in Walmart on Boxing Day hit with 1,000 people screaming and buying stuff. I mean, you need to be able to spiritually drown out everything, wherever you are, at Walmart, at Tim Hortons, in your prayer closet, walking down a busy street in Quebec City, or in a stadium or a hockey game, wherever you are, a lot of noise. We need to tune our ears to hear him, the small, still voice, and be able to drown everything out. Because I believe that most of the, not most, but a lot of the revelation we're going to receive and the plan God's going to give us, the understanding, is going to be in the midst of the storm. Right? Because that's when we're really going to learn who he is. If you look at the disciples, right? You know, they, Jesus is human. He's normal. He got tired. So they cross, you know, Jesus said, hey, we're going to the other side. Get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Get into the boat. You know the story, the waves. And he's asleep. And says, Lord, Lord, carest thou not, we perish. Wake up. What are you doing sleeping? Get up. And ye of little faith. Didn't I say we're going to the other side? And he gets up and he rebukes the storm. Right? And he said, who is this man that even the storms and the wind obey him? And there was two miracles that happened. Well, it could be three, depending on which story you're in, which gospel you're reading. But obviously, the first, you know, he calms the storm. You know, the rain, the wind, the lightning, the sky is clear, all the stars. Miracle number one. But don't forget that the sea was doing this. And usually when a storm stops, the sea continues to do this for like half an hour until it slowly goes back to normal. But this, it was and it just stopped. Second miracle right there. And it was in the midst of the storm that they realized who he was and the power that he had over the elements of the earth. It's going to be in the midst of your storm, Lisa. I hear the Lord saying, it's in the midst of your storm, God's going to reveal who he is. Because the storm wasn't for the people on the beach, those 5,000 who just ate dinner. The storm wasn't for them. The storm was for those in the boat. And he needed them to go through a circumstance to reveal his majesty and the power that he has to calm the storms in your life. And he's in the boat with you. It's going to be in the midst of the storm where God's going to show up and show that he is who he said he is. So when you're going through a storm, let me tell you something, Donna Pershing, you know this more than anybody here. Anytime you go through a circumstance or an issue, it's not always the devil. It could be the Lord, because God is setting you up for something. Sometimes God's got to get you into the storm so that you can see who he really is. Time of intensity, 5784. Time of judgment, astonishment, shock, surprise. Get ready to be wowed by the Lord, not only just in your prayer closet, but in the midst of the storm. We need to learn how to hear him in the midst of the chaos, because chaos is going to ensue and everybody's going to be running around with chickens with all their heads cut off, and you're going to have the answer. But you got to be ready to willing to listen and say, okay, I got the answer. And they're going to know that your God is real. It's a year to cross over, but not everybody's going to cross over. It's a year to walk through the open door, but you got to go through the storm to get through the door. The devil's going to push your buttons. He's going to set up obstacles. And he really wants you to focus on your problems instead of focusing on God, because our God is bigger. His ways are higher than our ways. And if he be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just pray. Just feel like praying. Father, I just thank you. Lord, 5784, it's a year of intensity. Father, it's a year where we're going to break through and break off and break away. Lord, even though the world is going to go through a time of astonishment and turmoil and chaos is going to ensue, Lord, we're going to go through a Goshen season where all our needs are going to be met. Lord, even though the dial is being turned up and the heat is being turned up, the fire is being turned up, and the devil is turning up the heat as well, Lord, our eyes are on you. I thank you, Lord, that this is the year of the open doors. Doors are opening, Father God, for us to walk through and fulfill the call of God that's on our life. Father, I declare right now, every prophetic promise that has been released over us in the last few years, where we gave up, where we put them on the shelf, where we thought this is never going to happen, I just release those words again, and I speak life to those words in the name of Jesus. because this is the year that we will fulfill God's call and God's promises on our life. Father, because you are opening great effectual doors. You are opening doors that no man and no devil can shut. And you're shutting the doors that no man can open. I thank you, Father God, that the revelation is going to increase in this season. You are going to give us dreams and visions and insights. You're going to give us concepts, blueprints, processes that we're not going to lack revelation. We're going to have the answers. Because Holy Spirit, you are the anointing that teaches us. And so, Father, right now, I activate those dreams. I activate those prophetic words. I activate the promises that have been spoken over each one of us. And those who maybe not be here tonight, but are going to be watching this video later on, I just release the prophetic promises once again, and I speak life to them, life and life abundantly, that they will come to pass. I thank you, Father God, we will not look at our circumstances. Father, we will look unto you. We will look up into the heavens once comes our help. Father, greater are you in us than he that is in the world. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we bind every satanic attack, every assignment right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and I plead the blood of Jesus as our divine protection. Father, I lift up a hedge of protection. Lord, I just love what it says in the book of Job. Lord, when you said, God, you said to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, well, of course, I can't do anything because you have put a hedge of protection around him. Father, you put a hedge of protection around Job that the devil could not even penetrate. I'm declaring those same hedges of protection right now over each one of us, over our names, our families, our properties, and everything that has our name upon it. I declare those hedges of protection right now in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank Father God again for the fire that is rebirthed in our hearts, a fresh new passion, a fresh love for Jesus Christ, an intensity in our passion for Jesus, a binding spirit of shame and guilt. Lord, not being able to open up our mouths and talk about Jesus when we're outside amongst other people. A fresh new fire is going to be birthed in our hearts and hearts of your people, Lord God. And Father God, I'm asking that in this season, you reawaken the remnant, Father God, to the call and the destiny and the purpose you have for the church, even in this season, in this time. I believe revival is coming, and you're going to set your remnant ablaze. Fire, Father God, you're going to set them ablaze, and people can come and see what it's burning. Fresh fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you are doing a fresh new thing. Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive the things that you're doing in this season. I thank you, Lord God, that we are going to be able to adapt and change in the things that you're going to be doing, Father God. You're going to release us fresh spirit of discernment to know, Father God, what you're doing, and we're going to adapt to whatever you call us to. Father, I just ask that you would draw us nearer unto you. Lord, I thank you for what comes to mind right now is the spirit of the woman with the issue of blood. She heard that Jesus was coming, and she said, I have to touch him. I just got to touch him. She spent years with finances and just was worse. And Jesus was walking through, and the crowds were pressing in and pushing in, and all the curiosity seekers were touching him because they wanted to touch the man of God. And just, ooh, we touched him. I touched him. And get the little goosebumps. And then she touched you. And Lord, you stopped. And you said, who touched me? And your disciples said, Lord, what are you talking about? You're crazy, Lord. Everybody's touching you. And he said, no. Someone touched me with a touch of faith because I felt virtue leave my body. Father, may we touch you like that today. May there be a desperation in our hearts. I just got to touch him. I need to touch Jesus. One touch from him will change everything. Father, I believe for a fresh touch from heaven that will radically change our lives and birth a new hunger, a new passion, and a fresh new thirst for you. Because this is a season where those that are thirsty and those that are hungry, Father God, are the ones that are going to receive the fresh touch from you. Father, do it. Surprise us. Shock us, Lord God. Do the intense thing you want to do in our hearts. And Father, here we are. Lord, I say, here I am. I will not look at my circumstances. I will not look at those buttons that are being pressed. Father God, I'm looking at you because you are the one that can take care of everything, Lord God, so that I can fulfill. Lord, when you told Adam, I have an assignment for you, you created the garden. You gave him everything that he needed. So Father, release right now everything that we need to fulfill our assignment in this year of 5784. Father, I thank you now and I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited. I don't know about you. I'm excited. I'm excited. This is going to be our year. I believe that 2020, I know that 2024 is going to be my year, and I believe it's going to be your year. So get ready and just prepare for what God has for you. Don't look at what man is saying or what man has said. This is going to be our year, the year of the remnant rising up, the year of revival, the year of fire, the year of the manifestations of the glory of God. It's coming. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't know if I got a couple of minutes left here, maybe another 10, 15 minutes. If anybody's got any questions, so you want to try to answer as best I can, put your hand up. I think Ashley can unmute you. Once has a prayer or something, an exhortation, the floor is open. I welcome it.
Hey, Pastor Miguel, I have a question. Where can they purchase your book at?
Yeah, so right now, the book that I have now, you could get it if you go to our website, eagleworldwide.com, and go to resources. Okay. You can go to the Canadian store, the American store, and it should be there. Or my own personal website is, I know it's weird, it's Digital Pneuma. So digital, D-I-G-I-T-A-L, the Pneuma, like Greek, P-N-E-U-M-A. So Katie, maybe you can put that in the chat. digitalpneuma.com. You can get it from there, and there's also a link to my Amazon, so you can get it from Amazon and download it as a Kindle book if you want it that way. It's called After the Fall, and the subtitle is The Lie That Keeps You Coming Back to Church. Hope these guys enjoyed that, that you learned something, that God really spoke to you, revelation. This is, like I said, this is, I believe this is a year of real revelation. I also believe that as you continue to listen to sermons and read the Word of God, you're going to see things you've never seen before. Okay, God's going to just release fresh revelation, fresh manna, fresh bread. Because there's things God's going to want us to do, but we're going to need revelation to do them, right? And like I said at the beginning, next time we're doing this is the last week of every month. So it's going to be the last week of October, October 26th, again, 8 p.m. We're going to be here for the next session. I'm really excited. Again, this is the first time we've done this. I'm excited about it. I hope you're excited. And yeah, if you missed anything, we're going to have the recording. We're going to get recording, and Ashley's going to send out an email to you so you can watch it again. And if you have any questions, feel free to, you can send them to Ashley, or she can send them to me. And whatever we can do, we're here to serve you. And just thank you so much for being part of the Eagle Worldwide Network of Ministries. I believe God's hand is on the network of ministries, and I believe it's going to grow. God is looking for ministers and soldiers to step into their call. And it's not a one-man army. It's not a lone ranger. We need covering. We need one another. We're parts of one body. Every part is different. But we need a covering. And Eagle Worldwide, the network, is your covering. And don't forget that prophetic, the apostolic mantle is over you. Wherever you go, you're going to chart new grounds. I believe God is going to, I believe the Lord saying that he's going to start giving you dreams to do something that you're going to say, nah, no way. There's no way I could do that. Know that if you could do it, then yeah, you could have already done it. God doesn't want you to do something you can do in your own strength. God's going to call you to do something that's impossible so that he gets the glory. So God's going to give you the dreams, press into those dreams, press into that revelation. Say, God, this is what you want me to do. I'm all in. And I know that you're going to make a way where there's no way. You're going to provide everything that I need, the finances, the people, the structure, the situation. You gotta work the plan the work and work the plan. Okay. But God's gonna give you a revelation of things that you're gonna say, wow, I can't believe that. Don't say that. Don't say I can't believe that. Say, Lord, it's hard to believe, but I believe it. And I'm gonna do it because, Lord, you said so. And if you be for me, you can be against me. Amen. Amen. So thank you for joining us tonight here at with us in at this going deeper in Revelation. Pray that you were blessed by it. And yeah, if you have any more questions, then I guess we'll see you October the 26th. And if you have any questions, get on the website and on the network website. Send us a contact us. There's a formula. You can ask us a question. We're here for you. We love you. And if you know, just press into the Lord. Really press into Him. Amen. So God bless you. Good night. And we'll see you in another month's time.